Have you ever spotted McDonald's hot, crispy fries right as they're being scooped into the carton? And time just stands still. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Welcome in. It is the Wednesday, February 5 edition of the NFL Spotlight Show. I am your host, Ari Merov. Yesterday, Tuesday, we had a very, very special episode. Usually we have a special guest. For this week, Super Bowl week, we did a very special awards show going through all the awards that will be announced on Saturday. We gave our predictions, also some unique created awards that we made up over here, looking back at the 2024 season, our favorite moments, some of the crazy moments, the most frustrating moments, and many other things that we made up over here. As we look back at the 2024 season, if you have not heard that episode, go back one episode, check it out, enjoy it as you go back memory lane over here for this 2024 season, which officially will end on Sunday with the Chiefs and the Eagles, and we crown a champion. As for today here, let's go around the NFL like we do every single day. We're going to have a lot more things here coming up on the podcast feed in the coming days as Media Row, Radio Row down in New Orleans officially heats up and more people start flowing in. We're going to have some stuff as well coming up. But for today, let's go around the NFL. We have a bunch of little news and notes to hit on. Ben Allen, what's going on? How are you?
What's going on, Ari? Happy Wednesday. The Los Angeles Rams appear ready to move on from one of their all-time great offensive weapons, as Cooper Kupp has now posted on social media that he has been told by the team that they are looking to move him. Kupp has been hampered by injuries and hasn't played more than 12 games in any of the last three seasons, but at only 31 years old, it feels like a lot is still there, particularly with the strength of his game being route running. I still think he has the ability to contribute at a starter level. Whether that's true, I don't know. He's still owed a decent chunk of change, though. The Rams are going to probably have to eat some of it. How much should the Rams realistically look to get in a Kupp trade?
Let's just flash back over here for a second, because if you remember during the season, we spoke about the Rams shopping Cooper Kupp. And at the time, I made it pretty clear here on the show that they were not actively trying to trade him. There were calls coming in. If we all remember, the Rams started the year 1-4 on the season, which made people think, all right, there's a chance over here. Maybe they might look to ship some pieces away from the team. And Cooper Kupp was one of those players. And of course, I believe it was a Thursday night game versus the Vikings, which was really the do or die game for them this year. And if they lost that game, they would have moved on from some players, probably including Cooper Kupp. Remember, the Chiefs had interest in him. But of course, they beat the Vikings in that Thursday night game, which as a result, Sean McVay, Les Snead, and everyone in that Rams organization was like, you know what? Scratch this idea of trading players. Let's go for it this year. The division is still wide open. The 49ers are reeling right now. We still have a shot. And of course, we saw them as the year went on. They won the NFC West, won a playoff game, and of course, lost in the divisional round. But here we go now into this offseason. And Cooper Kupp, you mentioned the contract. That is really the big element over here. And I think the facts about all this before we get into it is that the Super Bowl year, the year where he won Super Bowl MVP and was Offensive Player of the Year, had the receiving triple crown, 145 catches, 1,947 yards, 16 touchdowns, and all of that. Since that year, in his last 3 years, you mentioned it briefly, he has missed time due to injury every single season. He played 9 games in 2022, 12 games in 2023, 12 games this past season. In each of those years, he has been held under 1,000 yards in all of those seasons, 812 in 2022, 737 in 2023, 710 this past season. And I think there's a big name value to Cooper Kupp. And when he announced this news on his own, on his X feed, everyone started tagging their team. And he, yeah, go trade for him, give up whatever it is, try to bring him in. He'll be great for our team. But when you speak to executives around the NFL, trading him is not so simple because of that contract. And he's basically owed $20 million in 2025. He has a $7.5 million roster bonus that is due on the fifth day of the new league year. Of that $7.5 million, $5 million of it is already guaranteed. And then he has another $20 million in 2026, which is all non-guaranteed. The point is, That is a lot of money for a player who is not the same player he once was. So you mentioned it, Ben. There's been talk that if the Rams do trade him and are able to find a trade partner, they might have to eat some money over here. And that basically becomes a question of, do we want to essentially buy a draft pick over here? Or they essentially could release him outright, which I would not rule out in this situation. And in that case, they basically are able to cut him and move on from all the money, because of the $20 million that he is scheduled to earn here in 2025, only $5 million of it is guaranteed, and that $5 million has offsets in it. So if he does become a free agent and sign a contract of $5 million or more, the Rams come out clean in all of this. So that is the math that they're going to have to do over here when it comes to all the trade and cut scenarios. I don't think they'll be able to get a significant draft pick like a first-round pick or a second-round pick. I think they'll be lucky to even get a third-round pick, which is what the Raiders, I believe, were able to get for Davante Adams, in part because Woody Johnson took over the operation there of the Jets. Everyone said that was an overpay with the contract that he had. So this is a bit of a similar situation with an aging veteran in a contract situation that is a bit expensive for other teams, considering the player that he is right now going into 2025. The other thing I'll mention over here with the Rams is I think there is a question that needs to be brought up over here with Matthew Stafford. We've spoken about him over here in recent weeks. I think we spoke about him late last week, that he is going to play in 2025. Obviously, his contract needs to be adjusted, but we know the relationship between Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp. Those are two guys who quite literally every single morning at breakfast in the Rams facilities are watching film together. They've been tied to the hip together ever since Matthew Stafford came into that building in that big blockbuster trade with the Lions. And Matthew needs his contract to be adjusted if he's going to stay with the Rams here in 2025. And if the Rams are not going to keep Cooper Kupp on this current contract, I think it does raise a question on how far are they willing to go with Stafford and his contract, which, keep in mind, last year they could not figure it out until the very first day of training camp. That was a very long 2 to 3 or even 4 month negotiation of trying to figure stuff out. And in the end of the day, all they did was put a Band-Aid on that contract by moving money from 2025 into 2024 and wiping out all of his guarantees, future guarantees, just to go year to year with Matthew Stafford. So Cooper Kupp is likely out over here, whether it's a trade or a cut. But I think the entire Rams roster over here and all the veteran players they have on that roster, I think those questions are also up in the air right now. Do I think Matthew Stafford is the quarterback in 2025? I do, but I don't think it's a slam dunk the way I thought it was over here a couple of weeks ago.
It's definitely going to be interesting in LA with how they decide to maneuver this situation. If Kupp is ultimately outright bought out by the Rams, go out to free agency, do whatever you want, you think he's going to have a ton of interest?
I mean, once you become a free agent, and again, I don't know what type of contract we're talking about for Cooper Kupp if he were to be released. It kind of reminds me of when, if you remember when the Packers released Jordy Nelson, like he got like a 2-year deal, it was like 50. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it wasn't like a significant contract there. It's a player who's kind of in the back end of his career. At least that's the way the league views the player. Obviously had a lot of success during the early portion of his career, but it's the injuries the last 3 years. It's the fact that he's no longer that number one receiver that he was in 2021 when he was Offensive Player of the Year and had the Triple Crown and won Super Bowl MVP. He has not exactly been that same player. I don't think he separates as well. I don't think he really ever was a separator the way he's more of a really, really good route runner. So there are a lot of questions when it comes to Cooper Kupp and his future here in the NFL. So if you were to be moved on from, I think there would be a significant level of interest, but are we talking about a significant contract? I don't think so.
We have breaking news into the NFL Spotlight Studios, aka our offices. The NFL says that their officials are not showing favoritism towards the Chiefs so they can continue to be a powerhouse and just win all the Super Bowls and make the playoffs and do this, that, and the other. So much of this started just because people were pissed off on Twitter about greatness with the Kansas City Chiefs every single year being in the AFC Championship, wrecking their favorite teams and ruining hopes and dreams. This has become a real issue now. We now have Super Bowl week players talking about officiating. We have Roger Goodell coming out. Hell, even the NFL Referees Association has come out to speak out and say, we are not colluding to let the Chiefs win. You can look on some of the plays online and see that there's definitely been times where the Chiefs have been, you know, they've gotten a few calls that maybe other teams didn't get in certain scenarios. But at the same time, you can do this every single team. You can go through every single game. You can find these moments where it seems like someone is being thrown a bone. Regardless of all that, it's now become a real conversation of a real topic during the Super Bowl. It started off as a stupid internet thing, and now there's being fuel being poured on the fire with the fact that it's actually being spoken about out in the real world and not just online. What's your biggest takeaways from all this?
Yeah, I mean, this is it's a bit crazy to me because I think you would agree with me, and Dean Blandino, who we've had here on the show, would tell you, I mean, officiating, first of all, is not easy. I mean, the fact when you're on that field and everything is so high paced, everybody's flying all over the place, the fact that they're able to get so many of the calls correct, it's not an easy job. I mean, I just think about like the James Cook touchdown in that AFC championship game. On the blink of it, like I wasn't sure that was a touchdown. The referees got it right, right? It's a very, very difficult job to do in the first place. But I go back to what you said with the internet and how this really all got underway. The new Twitter, obviously that's my main platform, is a bit complicated where the algorithm really supports doing and being overreacting to stuff. And there are a number of accounts who have done a lot when it comes to just going nuts on every little thing that might look like an advantage to the Kansas City Chiefs. And they're purposely doing it in order to get those reactions, which as a result, Twitter is paying you. And it's really gotten out of control to a point where a lot of the average fans are kind of believing this. And now it's being brought up here in Super Bowl week. Now, I knew it would be brought up during Super Bowl week. I knew Roger Goodell would be asked about it in his State of the Union press conference that he does every single year at the Super Bowl. I think the NFL, which is usually really, really good at PR, has not done a great job at answering this question, if I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, the idea of putting out a statement and saying it's ludicrous and just using words like ridiculous and you're crazy if you actually believe that, they probably should have. What Dean Blandino did here on the show is explain the entire process of what it takes to become an official in the NFL and how you have access to their bank accounts and you know every little detail about what they do and on and on and on and on, and make it clear that there is no all those conspiracy theories which are being started by these random people in their basements should be completely thrown out the window and stop talking about it. But the fact that they're out here trying to say you guys are crazy for believing it and it's ridiculous and blah, 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 and saying that the officiating is at the best it's ever been, I don't think that is really helping the situation. So that is kind of my problem with all of this. Yes, I agree. The officiating at times has been a little bit annoying and frustrating. And it's not only the Chiefs. It happens with every single team. I could bring you endless examples of the officiating being a problem in situation, whether it's roughing the passer or pass interference or whatever it is during the regular season. Have the Chiefs benefited at times? I'm sure they have. Have the Bills benefited as well? Yes, they have. Every single team has had a call go their way or another at a different point. Being an official is not an easy thing and it's not a perfect job. And you could have the conversation about having full-time officials. You could have the conversation of using more technology, which I think the NFL will eventually implement whenever they feel like they have it down 1,000%. There are a lot of different things that the NFL could do to help this situation. I don't think they've done a really good job of explaining everything throughout this week. But this entire thing really has started because of a number of accounts over here who overreact to every little thing that the officiating department does whenever they play against the Kansas City Chiefs, and they go in all caps and say, "War in the world is this, the NFL must stop, the NFL is rigged." And if you're an average fan who only watches the NFL once a week, you're like, "Oh my God, maybe that's true." And it's gotten so crazy that here we are here during Super Bowl week and people are asking about it. So it's unfortunate. The NFL is now rigged. The NFL does not have this issue. The NFL does a lot with their officiating department to make sure they will never have a Donahue situation the NBA had. But it's been a little bit difficult to see the way the reaction has been this week. And it's unfortunate. But hopefully this game does go through over here and does happen and there are no controversy with it. Because if there is, this is going to be the longest and most annoying offseason we've had in a long time.
Yeah, no kidding. And I do think, like you were saying, it is fair to criticize the NFL in the way that they have responded to people asking these questions. Because, I mean, look around. You just Google it this week. The MLB just fired an umpire for having a shared betting account. You hear about what's going on with Terry Rozier. You hear what's going on with Jontay Porter. There's real gambling and betting that is trying to find a way to sneak itself into the actual narrative of what happens in games. But the idea that entire group of officials would be trying to collude to allow one team, Kansas City, which is a major market, clearly, you know, Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas. That's the one you really want to pump up. It's silly. It's silly at the end of the day, but you have to be able to respectfully respond to those that may legitimately feel that it's the other way around.
Just think about it for a second. Like the number that they put out, it's 17 different officiating crews. There are 138 total officials in the NFL. And during the regular season, one crew could only do a single team at a maximum of two times. So if you really think 138 different officiating officials are out here speaking to each other on a Slack channel and being like, how can we benefit the Kansas City Chiefs? You're out of your mind. That's not what's going on over here. So it's a little bit crazy. It's out of control. And it's unfortunate, honestly. But I just really hope that we don't have any controversy here in this Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl because, Ben, you know it. I know it. If there is, I mean, this offseason is going to be the biggest headache ever if something like that does happen.
Well, while we have yet to get to the big game, two of the biggest questions may have already been answered. Will head coach Andy Reid and tight end Travis Kelce be back next season? It appears the answer is yes. Chiefs owner Clark Hunt says he knows for a fact Reid will be back. And when Kelce was asked where he sees himself in 3 years, he said he's still going to be playing for the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you think that the storyline is already put to bed, or are there still going to be questions that swirl after the game about these two guys?
So I'm not really surprised by Andy Reid because after last season, when it was definitely louder about the idea of him retiring, and I've heard a bunch of, I don't know if the word is rumors, but a lot of chatter behind the scene that should Andy Reid ever retire, Matt Nagy is in place, ready to go, because that's somebody who Patrick Mahomes has a great relationship with. But at the end of last season, after they won their back-to-back Super Bowl, the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid agreed to a 5-year extension that averages nearly $20 million per year. And Andy Reid said it at the time after that Super Bowl that I'm having the most fun ever right now. And if Patrick is here, why would I ever leave? So I think that still stands right now. And he's obviously enjoying his time as coaching and has basically entered a conversation right now as could he maybe be the greatest coach of all time? I still believe it's Bill Belichick, but that conversation is starting to percolate out there if you start reading a little bit what's online and on some of the television shows. So he's obviously having the time of his life. I'm not surprised at all, considering the contract, considering the winning, considering the quarterback he has, and the front office and the coaching staff that he has, which nobody tries to pry away from because they have Matt Nagy, who no one really wants to give a second job to, Steve Spagnuolo, who for whatever reason never really gets much interest, and Dave Taub, who's one of the best special team coordinators. He's not going through what some of these other teams like the Eagles who keep on losing coordinators or the Rams or the 49ers. Like his coordinators have been there forever and nobody is trying to pry them away. So he has a really, really good coaching staff. The front office with Brett Veach is also excellent. Obviously, we mentioned the roster and the quarterback. There's no reason for Andy Reid to consider retirement. Now, Travis Kelce, obviously, I'll take him by his word. He said he wants to continue playing. That has been an ongoing conversation behind league circles for a number of years now, just because some people thought last year when Jason retired, Travis could be a surprise retirement as well. Obviously, we know everything going on off the field with his life, Saturday Night Live, dating Taylor Swift, the entire things of the money they could get off the field as well. People thought last year they would retire together and as a result go into the Hall of Fame together. Like that was a conversation that was going on behind the scenes. Of course, they won the Super Bowl. He came back. But I'm not as convinced that Travis Kelce is for sure going to still be playing here 3 years from now. He still has a lot left in the tank. He obviously did take a bit of a dip this past year when it comes to playoff Travis Kelce. We saw what he did in that opening round versus the Houston Texans. He still got it. Patrick is still looking for him, but the entire off the field element for Travis is always going to be out there, and that's something to watch. And keep in mind, before the season started, I think it was right before their week one game versus the Ravens, the Chiefs did give a 3-year extension to Noah Gray anticipating him being somebody potentially who could take over for Travis Kelce whenever he does call it a career. So Andy Reid, I do believe, is staying. Travis Kelce, I'll take him by his word. But that has been a conversation that's been going on over these last couple of years. We'll see what happens after Sunday's game. But if Travis says he wants to keep on playing, I'm going to take him by his word that he should be back over here in 2025 as well. All right, that will do it here for our Wednesday, February 5 edition of the NFL Spotlight Show. We will be back here tomorrow. Once again, we have some surprises over here, some things going on from Media Row. We're also going to have our official preview for the Super Bowl as well, presented by DraftKings. So a lot going on over here on the NFL Spotlight Show. We will see everyone back here tomorrow morning.